Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself, discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now. Welcome, souls, to Life in Full Expression. I get to be your host, Beth Wolf. Today, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about courage, calmness, and confidence from one of my favorite sources, Yogananda. And why? Well, this is something that I actually have been personally struggling with in my own life. And it feels really good when you know maybe someone that's hosting a podcast or is a life coach that's like, oh man, they're going through that stuff too. And I definitely have. I've been on a journey, and I was just sharing with my lovely partner, Kelly, that I've felt like I've been a turtle and I just sucked my head into the shell and kind of been in a shell for the last couple of months. And part of the, maybe you can relate to this, part of the reason that I did that is I felt last year I really put my neck out there with a lot of investment in my business and wanting to expand it. I had all kinds of desires and wants. Can you guys relate? You got these desires, you got these goals, you got these visions. And guess what? I didn't experience any results. And so I felt really disappointed, frustrated. And in all of this has been an extraordinary lesson. And I really came in looking at what is it that I would really love to share with you in this podcast today. And as I came into my office and looked at all the books, guess what popped out? Yogananda, How to Have Courage, Calmness, and Confidence. And I'm like, hey, I'm just going to let you guys in on what's been going on in my life. And so without further ado, if you are struggling with that, or you can relate to sticking your neck out for something and having deep desires and then it just not ending up the way you thought it would, this is a perfect podcast for you. So stay tuned. I've got some great stuff from an amazing wisdom teacher, Yogananda, if you have not heard of him, an amazing wise man that was born and raised in India, came to the United States in the 1920s and really brought to the Western world this artistic and scientific yoga that would really awaken ourselves. Well, if you've read his book, it wasn't exactly the greatest welcoming in the United States of America. So we're going to dive into the spiritual dimension of life in full expression. And I want to remind us, what is the spiritual dimension of one definition? So it's about you and I devoting ourselves to not only our own needs, but other people's needs. And that we spiritually are developing to produce a sense of greater meaning in our own lives, and that we are truly part of something bigger than this human vessel that we're in. And it really does help us to identify our own basic purpose in life. So it's about us learning how to experience love, joy, peace, fulfillment, and help ourselves and others achieve our full potential. So without further ado, about spiritual dimension, courage. It's actually an innate quality of our soul. And Yogananda shares in, he wrote a series of books, they're great little books. I'll put it up there. They're just a series about wisdom from him. There's several volumes. I think there's up to 8 volumes of it. He says that success, health, and wisdom are the natural attributes of the soul. And I will get my tongue working here. Holy buckets today. Identification with weak thoughts and habits and the lack of concentration, perseverance, and courage are responsible for the misery that people suffer due to poverty, ill health, and so forth. And there's different kinds of poverty. You know, there can be not only financial poverty, materialistic poverty, but we can have a poverty in our mental state and our emotional state as well. Yogananda says that we are paralyzing our faculty for success by thoughts of fear. Success and perfection of mind and body are our inherent qualities because we are made in, he uses God, that word, but you can insert God as source, infinite intelligence, whatever really resonates with you. But he says God, and that we are in that image. In order to be able to claim our birthright, however, we must first rid ourselves of the delusion of our own limitations. Sometimes I think that's really why we're here. It's just like we come to Earth with this exploring, elevating, and expanding, and remembering our true essence of our soul. And so Yogananda's like, we've got some delusions of our own limitations. He goes on to say that God owns everything. So source owns everything. Infinite intelligence owns everything. Therefore, know at all times that as God or source, you know, a child of God, we own everything that belongs to the Father. And the Father can be a metaphoric meaning for things that are being created, you know, that you're going out there and doing it. So to source, we must feel fully satisfied and contented, knowing that we have access. And I want to emphasize that word have, that we have access to all of our Father's possessions. And our native endowment is perfection. And I want to insert another word in there to perfection, especially for our Western listeners in the United States, that perfection could be another word for we are already whole. There's already a wholeness that exists deep within us in our eternal and immortal soul. So our native endowment is wholeness and prosperity, that you and I might be choosing to be imperfect and poor by our own delusions. The sense of possessing everything must be a mental habit with each individual. So if you want to write that one down as a nugget so far, that our sense of possessing everything, the sense of it, must be a mental habit with each individual. And I find this last statement, as I have just returned from a four-day conference with Dr. Sue Mortar, who wrote the Energy Codes and has Mortar Institute, that her primary emphasis that she was leading us through in these 4 days was coming from a feeling in our body, not just the mind up here, but in our entire body of already having rather than wanting. And I think that's a theme that I have been in probably for this last year as a life coach, health and business, that we have goals, but yet that puts us in a sense of wanting all the time. It puts us in a sense of always having desires that are not quite fulfilled. And so she had us practice certain positions and meditations that basically helped us feel that sense all through our body. Well, Yogananda shares that with us, that every day is a fresh opportunity on the part of the human ego to gather more and more exploits of heroism. You and I are our true heroes, and then we're on a hero journey. He shares that we are to meet everybody and every circumstance on the battlefield of life with the courage of a hero and a smile of a conqueror. I love that. When I read that, I'm like, oh, that speaks to me. I needed to hear that. That I, on the battlefield of life, I am going in with the courage of a hero and the smile of a conqueror, like as if I already have it. He says that whatever comes our way needs attention, must be considered a duty. Duty is not imposed upon us by any superpower. It is the inherent urge of life toward progression. neglect of one's duty is a source of evil that can be avoided by wisdom. He goes on to say that avoid associating, you know, let's just say that you're growing new in a new spiritual elevation of yourself, exploring new things, whatever it might be spiritually for you. Yogananda really encourages us to not associate with a lot of people that are complaining about life when you might be a young sprout in growth of something new in your life. He says that they may ruin our newly awakened spirituality, which is like a tender plant growing within you. So he says, avoid such people and try to be happy always, no matter how you are situated. He says that God will never reveal itself to you, to me, unless we are contented and happy. It's almost like that opens up, releases a kink in the hose of life force going to us and through us, that if we are content and happy. The true devotee banishes faint-heartedness. Resolutely, he or she assembles a mental caravan of noble spiritual qualities, appointing willpower and devotion. One of my definitions of willpower that I've learned from other mentors is focus. So appointing focus and devotion to, you know, the post of leadership, and you set out on your journey with that focus and devotion. He says that know with unshakable faith that you free your heart from every vestige of desire and will attain true freedom at last. So desire and want can be like an ignition and ignite for you. But you and I don't want to stay in a state of mental wanting and mental desiring all the time. It's almost like we put it at bay. He says that onward, ever onward, one would travel embracing high achievements on the way, but never allowing ourselves to become attached to any of them. And notice in my introduction how I shared I've gotten attached to some certain outcomes. He says that never does he rest until the end is reached. Such is the true devotee. And I noticed reading this with Yogananda and mentioning to free our hearts from every vestige of desire. And again, this taps into coming from the feeling that we already have, and that wanting something, like I said, is just a spark, an ignition, but we don't want to stay in that mental state of desiring and wanting, that we come from, like I've shared with Neville Goddard, that we come from the feeling of the wish fulfilled. And you can see that there's so much power, peace within us if we will just go in and go in. And, you know, maybe not the turtle illustration is the best one, but really going in, I was able to actually reflect on what am I doing that is not feeling right inside my body. And I was being attached to certain outcomes. Well, Yogananda goes on to say that change, even change for the better, is often approached with apprehension. Now, I see that all the time, not only within myself, but many clients that I help with, is they want to transform and they want to change, but they have, maybe you do too, you've experienced this, they have a thought of, will I be left with nothing if I change something? He says that it takes courage to renounce the known, the familiar for the unknown. It's not easy even to renounce a familiar pain for an unknown and therefore uncertain happiness. He gives a great example about the mind is like a horse that for years has pulled its delivery wagon, like pulling your body along. And the horse grows accustomed to its daily route and cannot be convinced easily to walk a new one. The mind, too, will not lightly abandon its old habits, even when it knows that it causes only misery. And beneficial changes should be embraced with courage. So know that when you are wanting, desiring, that initial spark, that igniting, that it's courage is definitely an attribute that you get to grow in. So as long as one hopes for better things are opposed by fear of that attainment or our attainment, the mind can never be at peace. It's almost like a double-mindedness. Have you heard of that? You know, you've got one foot in here and one foot out there. You've got your energy bifurcated. So he says, accept change, therefore, as life's only constant. Our lives are an endless procession of gains and losses, and joys and sorrows, of hopes and disappointments. You know, and I just get a little choked up even reading that. That gains and losses, joys and sorrows, hopes and disappointments, that there is an acceptance of that here in this human life. He says that at one moment we find ourselves threatened by storms of trials, right? And then moments later is a silver lining that brightens the gray clouds, and then suddenly the skies are blue again. So, as a sincere seeker, in contrast to maybe someone that might be an armchair seeker, wasting their life spinning intellectual theories, Yogananda, as well as myself, encourages us to take heart at the thought of hard work or rigorous work before us. And so, as a true warrior, as a true hero that is in each and every one of us, we might be afraid to take that new road that is unknown. And so we get to plunge courageously into that unknownness, that battle, and when the strength of our arm is needed. So just like if you were a true mountain climber and you have apprehension of maybe a cliff that might be there, but you still set out resolutely to conquer it. He says that I know what an arduous task it must be to achieve perfection. And again, I'd like to insert in here that perfection is really us remembering our own wholeness, our perfect soul. And with God's help, success surely must be mine, must be ours. Claim that for yourself. So, by deep daily efforts, Yogananda talks so much about going within, meditation. And having an awareness of that divine bliss that is within us. He encourages us to take heart, you know. And I love how he says in the book about devotee, that you're a devotee, I'm a devotee, we're a devotion to our own growth and expansion. And he says, no matter how dry, clay hard, or crack the soil of your heart has become during famine years of sense indulgence, a failure and disappointment, it can be watered and softened again by peace showers of inner communion. So much about going within, that if things have been really tough and rigorous for you, as I've experienced lately, that this was such an encouragement from him that it can be softened again. So he says, instead of being overcome and discouraged when confronted with what you think is trouble, he encouraged us to thank God, thank Father, thank Source, infinite intelligence, for offering us the opportunity to see what you and I might need to learn and develop the strength and wisdom to meet the challenge. And so, what have I learned lately is, wow, I had a hold of a real focus of attachment to certain outcomes. And so I have learned that I can, as another mentor said to me, this or something greater still. I really have walked through a process where I keep my hands open that it may look like this, but it may look like something different, and for me to continue on the path. Yogananda says that karma is best worked out by meeting life's tests cheerfully and courageously. If you still fear something, that karma has not yet been worked out. And I found that interesting because my recent trip to Scottsdale, I went and saw my daughter for the first time in 2 years. And man, I felt like I walked right into fear. Because I had fear in that relationship, and it wasn't so much fear of my daughter as it was, I'm coming into the presence of fear and dissolving it with love and peace and light. And it really served me just greatly. I learned so much about myself. And so you can see that I'm working out that karma and dissolving it. He says, rise above them bravely by dwelling in God's joy within. At any given moment, you have all the courage, the strength, and intelligence necessary to overcome. We do. So he encourages us to become still mentally and physically, retire to your center of poise within. I'm going to be talking about that next. And commune with source within you, and it will show you the way. And so we're going to take a short break. That has been all about courage and an amazing attribute for change and transformation. And so the source of power is calmness. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back, and I'm going to share with you about your source of power.
Discover anew you at Mountains of Hope, the ultimate wellness retreat. Detox your body with doctor-approved juice fasting and IV nutrition, using fresh fruits and veggies from Colombia's rich soil. You will be tested throughout the process according to your and your body's needs for a personalized experience. Relax your mind with yoga, meditation, while learning to heal yourself by following a 9-week doctor-supervised protocol. Heal your soul with emotional support from our caring staff who will follow up with you for a year after your retreat. Mountains of Hope, where transformation lasts.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
If you deeply knew you were so much more than your history, current conditions, and circumstances, would you explore, elevate, and expand yourself? If yes, Beth Wolf is your guide. Beth helps you envision true possibilities, starting with your desires, truth, and values as we design your seven-dimensional life blueprint. Go to www.bethwolf.com to schedule your discovery session now.
Are you living through any painful family relationships? Do you feel like you are frequently stuck in the past or can't sleep at night because of painful family memories? Rose Salkova is an energy life coach, and she's here to show you firsthand that your life doesn't need to be that way. She will guide you on how to take responsibility for your own energy and help you create a meaningful life for yourself. To find out more or schedule a session with Rose, visit familyhealingwithrose.com.
Tune in on the first and third Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Creating Connection with me, Dr. T. We will navigate being human together through conversations, exploring the challenges and joys of life, uncovering insights and strategies to create meaningful connections, and find solace in the collective wisdom of our diverse community. When we come together, the possibilities are endless. Visit me at ccwithdrt.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the second segment of what we're learning about how to have courage, calmness, and confidence. And as promised, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the source of power that we have within us, and it's calmness. And, you know, just coming from my own experience as a young person, I used to get really frustrated and, I there was a part of me that just wasn't calm. And as I've spent more time on this earth and learned from a lot of people that have taught me that calmness is an extraordinary attribute. So every individual has a soul and a body, right? Through delusion, though, Yogananda talks about, he finds his soul identified. When you and I start identifying our body with all the conditions of the body, for example, the body can be injured, changed, or destroyed, then it is limited and short-lasting, which is a lot of times the focus of our life is the very thing of the body. So the individual, you and I, when we start identifying with the body, basically we think that we are vulnerable all the time, like constantly. But the soul cannot in any way be injured, changed, or destroyed. So Yogananda is building something here of a mental capacity. He says that the soul, made in the image of the spirit, basically is ever calm, eternal, and ever undisturbed. So what if we were coming more from that? He goes on to say that by worldly desires, an individual becomes more and more identified with the weaknesses of the body, always fearing death and limitations, you know, like, I don't have this, I don't have that, I'm not enough, da 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 da, all on that. But Yogananda says that if the soul directs its attention away from the misery-making bodily limitations and meditates until his delusion vanishes, he finds himself as the everlasting soul, living in the fortress of omnipresence, impregnable, invulnerable, and to any effects of delusion, vibratory changes that, you know, we're going to change. And, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, you might be very familiar with him. A lot of his meditations are, you know, being in your no body, your no thing, you're in no space, you're in between space. And I think this is a little bit of a great example, if you want to look at some of his meditations, about really coming from the very essence of the soul. Yogananda goes on to say that every individual must remember that he or she is immortal, not open to any invasion of change or death. I mean, even when our body appears to be affected by disease, accident, or death. By concentrating on the soul, the individual can do away with mortal desires and find everlasting freedom. So it's not like you're not wanting anything, but we're not basically in that mental state all the time, the mental state of wanting, of not having. No matter how long you have been meditating, possibly, if you still fear bodily diseases or death and have not realized the immortality of the soul, you have advanced little and have realized little. He says that you must meditate more and more deeply until you have ecstatic communion with God, Source, Infinite Intelligence, and forget the limitations of the body. During meditation, you must realize that you are far above all bodily changes, formless, omnipresent, and omniscient. He says that life is change. It definitely is. It is always changing. So he encourages us to remain ever calm because we're coming from the soul perspective. He uses the term be even-minded. When working, be calmly active. Someday you will know yourself to be subject, no longer to the tides of destiny. Your strength will come from within. You will not depend on an outer incentive of any kind of motivation. And I've found that inspiration is so much more powerful in, because it comes from within, rather than an external motivation. And as a devotee on a spiritual path, give little weight to the trials that beset you and I. Be even-minded, walk with courage, go forward from day to day with calm, really calmness in your faith. Eventually, you will pass beyond every shadow of bad karma, beyond all tests and difficulties, and will behold at last the dawn of divine fulfillment. In the highest of all states of consciousness will become freedom and everlasting trailing vapor of misfortune. It is so much about that mental habit and the perspective. So he says, today, now, right now, set out for that promised land, even though it seems distant, yet ever near, because it truly is within us, the unshakable state of absolute fulfillment in God or in Source. Yogananda goes on to say that our real nature is eternal bliss. Imagine coming from that state of a feeling of eternal bliss. And you might go, I don't know how to do that. Well, you may not. And begin that process of asking within yourself of what that feels like. That's one of the things I help clients with a lot. And I help myself with that a lot too, as I get mentoring as well. He says, play your tragic or comic parts in life with an inner smile. You're immortals endowed with eternal joy. Never forget this during your play with changeable mortal life. This world is but a stage on which you play your parts under the direction of the divine stage manager. Play them well, whether they be tragic or comic, always remembering that your real nature is eternal bliss and nothing else. The one thing that will never leave you is the joy of your soul. And I felt that as I went to, visit Evie, my daughter, lately. It's like, I'm going to play this role the best I know how. And in the midst of it, it was really a role of sorrow and loss, and just going in there and just going head into with it with eternal love and eternal bliss. But that I'm going to play this role like if someone was watching me, they could see that I was sorrowful and I was sad. And this just helped as I read this. He says that, therefore, learn to swim in the calm sea of unchanging bliss before you attempt to plunge into the maelstrom of material life. Kind of like, you put up a lot into business, it doesn't, or a relationship or something like that, it doesn't come out the way you thought it would. He says, which is the realm, as we're plunging into that, Yogananda is sharing with us that it's the realm of sorrow, pleasure, indifference, and a deceptive temporary space. And the wholehearted practice of meditation brings deep bliss, manifests the serenity always. It is within us. If we keep looking outside of ourselves to find that bliss or that serenity or that poise, I truly believe so far that we will forever find disappointment continually. We'll always be in this wanting. So how do you and I obtain poise, this calmness? Well, he says that it is difficult to earn money, but he also says it's much more difficult to obtain poise. So it's not an easy road. Make a triangle, he said. And on one side, write sweetness, boom. The other side, write calmness. And at the bottom, write happiness. And he says, people have two kinds of nature, the private nature and the public nature. The private nature is when they relax and allow themselves to express ugliness. I love how my partner will say to me, she's like, I love all of you. And so, you can express whatever you need to, and the same for her. Yogananda says that many people dress up to go out, but inside, passions are raging. Inside the house, they say, I am angry. Outside, they'll say, oh, how are you? And put on this persona or this mask. He says that we must have unity of mind, speech, and body. There's an alignment that he's talking about here. Be calm and speech and in mind. So attain calmness, attain peace, attain happiness, attain poise. Every night before you go to bed, he shares this phraseology. Now, you could insert a different word, but he says, I am the Prince of Peace sitting on the throne of poise. Poise is my center, your center. Whether you act quickly or slowly, you will never lose your kingly attitude of peace. Many people know the way to peace and permanent happiness, but are slow to follow it. Can you relate? Maybe you and I have learned a lesson and then we forget it. So make use of our spiritual training. Like, what have I learned recently? I've learned a lot about, I had some attachments that were really creating a lot of sorrow and disappointment within myself. So live a godly life yourself, and everyone who crosses your path will be helped just by contact with you. If you want to live in peace and harmony, affirm divine calmness and peace and send it out only thoughts of love and goodwill. Yogananda quotes this this stanza. He says, be even-minded in the face of pleasure or pain, gain or loss, victory or defeat. In this way, you will incur no sin. And another interpretation of sin would be, you incur no missing of the mark of your true nature of life, of being here. He says that this stanza can be interpreted to give guidance to the worldly person, the moral individual, and the spiritual aspirant. Anyone who seeks business prosperity, is that you? Would you like to experience business prosperity? He says, keep your mind unruffled through sudden material gains or losses. I felt like I did not keep my mind unruffled. And that's part of the why I like, you know, being a turtle and I just retracted into my shell. So I get to grow in that. He says also, a businessman or woman who is not over elated by success finds their concentration is not deflected from the path of even greater success. You know, like you're on the, you know, you're celebrating so much and ecstatic so much that you end up taking yourself off the success path. On the other hand, he says, the person that becomes depressed by business failure loses the focusing power of their concentration. You know, now all of a sudden you're looking at something else and thus is unable to make renewed efforts for material success. He says that every worldly man or woman seeking success must keep their mind calm to keep the constantly changing circumstances of their life. That you and I must be able, like a tractor, to move easily over ups and downs in the field of life. And the moral aspirant should not be overjoyed when they are victorious over us, you know, a mighty temptation, nor should they be discouraged if they find themselves suddenly a prisoner of temptation. The resolute, even-minded moral individual moves steadily forward until he or she reaches his goal of complete self-mastery. So premature joy of temporary success or depression due to temporary failure should not be allowed to obstruct the way of moral progress. It's really insightful of where are we putting our attention on? What are we looking at and what do we keep looking at and really expanding the energy of that? So he says, a devotee who meditates regularly, that might be you going out on a walk, a hike, you know, it's wonderful to stare at trees or something like that, that is really just, you know, quieting yourself inside. He says that doing it regularly, you may find yourself the victim of a sudden explosion of subconscious restlessness, and that we should not be discouraged nor stop making renewed efforts at deeper meditation and really God contact until you and I are anchored in the infinite, like we're just anchored in like the roots of a tree. We must be really raised in this mental shift of concentration on the calm or rough seas of inner experience until you and I reach the shores of unending communion with that infinite. So Yogananda explains phrase like I call to an unruffled calmness or poise. He says that a person's mind, a yogi's mind, is like a rippleless lake, free from the waves of temporary mental elation, sadness, or emotional disturbances due to loss or gain, victory or failure. and finds within himself the unruffled, clear reflection of the spirit. So really, here's an affirmation for calmness for us. The moment my mind is agitated, restless, or disturbed, I will retire to silence, discrimination, and concentration until calmness is restored. So that is our power, that calmness. We're going to take another short break, and I'm going to come back with the finalness of confidence, and that you and I truly are the child of the infinite. I'll be right back after this message.
Festa della Donna with Esther Graham honors all women far beyond a single day of celebration. Regardless of your race, gender, sexual orientation, or religion, Esther helps your rise to your full potential to live fully in God's plan and to do what you were divinely created to do. Festa della Donna offers programs that help you fulfill your dreams and desires. For more information and to get your free copy of the Festa della Donna Retreat Self-Care Guide, visit fdbwomen.com.
If you deeply knew you were so much more than your history, current conditions, and circumstances, would you explore, elevate, and expand yourself? If yes, Beth Wolf is your guide. Beth helps you envision true possibilities, starting with your desires, truth, and values as we design your seven-dimensional life blueprint. Go to www.bethwolf.com to schedule your discovery session now.
Thriving is not a word, it's an action, a state of being. Tune in to The Best Living Show. I'm your host, Dr. Rachel Sweet, every first and third Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will help you dig deep to find your state of thrive by looking at psychology, brain health, epigenetics, and more. We are more than our code. It's a different kind of code. It's the best living code. Visit DrRachelSweet.com. That's DrRachelSweet.com.
Imagine if you were truly flourishing, how would your financial expansion impact the world? Author of Money Come Dance With Me, Gail West is an internationally known speaker, creative catalyst, and business intuitive at Success with Soul. Work with Gail to create a new relationship with money as your friend. Link the soul of your business to the business of your soul with programs like Sacred Money Mastery, Akashic Records of the Soul, and more. To receive a healing money meditation, go to successwithsoul.com today. At the Centerpiece Foundation, Dr. Ellie Zarabian can help you make the most of your time here on Earth. As a third-generation healer with a doctorate degree in psychology, Dr. Ellie helps you resolve conflict that begins within the self and extends out into the world. No matter your spiritual background and cultural heritage, you can learn to heal past traumas and listen to your inner voice. Are you ready to feel empowered to live more peacefully during our time of social unrest? For more information, visit centeronpeace.com.
Welcome back to this third segment on Life is Full Expression. We're talking about courage, calmness, and confidence, how to have it and come from it. And it's all from a little book written by Yogananda, the amazing yogi from India. And so confidence, it's really coming from a sense and a feeling and a knowingness that you and I are a child of Source, that we are, you know, just a piece of infinite Source coming through this body. So that might be another way to look at it. And Yogananda says that the creative spiritual consciousness abides within the soul of man, women, and he may do with it whatever he wishes. And for he is created in the image of God, infinite intelligence, and that we truly do have unlimited powers. He is the master of his own destiny. You are, I am. And he will but accept and use that God-given power. Will we use it? Are we aware of it? The only limitation that is imposed basically by us is through our thoughts. It is a well-known psychological fact that thoughts are things. A statement in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A truth which has revolutionized and transformed lives and thousands. So it's important that you and I cultivate the consciousness that the divine spirit is our own source and is the owner of the whole universe, that we are part of that, along with all of its abundance. And I'm still learning and unveiling that in myself and uncovering it and recalling it and remembering it. So you and I, as a beloved part of this, a beloved child, if you want to say, have the absolute right to possess anything, even as the infinite does, this universe. Yogananda says that never beg or pray for anything, of that pleading kind of begging, but hold the thought that you have everything already, which is what I talked about in the first few segments, and really Dr. Sue Mortar putting out there that for us to come from the sense and embody it, that we are coming from as if we already have it. And all that you have to do is to seize it within the infinite natural confidence of a child of God. We get to practice this. So Yogananda encourages us, don't be a beggar. Now, I was taught that in Christian religion too. You know, oh God, please this, oh God, please that. And it was so frustrating. It just like never worked. So realize that you and I are the child of the emperor of the universe, is one way that Yogananda says it. He shares that God answers all prayers. Interesting. Restless prayers, however, he answers only a little bit. So he references God as a he. It can be totally source. So if you offer to others something that isn't yours to give, this is an example he puts out there. Won't that be an empty gesture? Like if you're saying you're going to give something to someone, but you really don't have it. So he says, similarly, if you pray to God, but lack control over your own thoughts, that prayer will have no power. Thoughts and feelings both must be focused when you pray. Thoughts and feelings in alignment. Otherwise, God will meet you and meet your little trickle with another little trickle of his own explanation. Point, he will basically dole out his answer to you in a teaspoon. Interesting illustration that if we're trickling something, it's going to be trickled back to us. And too often prayer is like the half-hearted mumbling of a beggar than the confident, loving demand of a friend. So just as a child lives happily and confidently secure in the protecting power of its parents, remember that? Maybe you had that kind of childhood growing up. So also does the devotee, you and I, being devoted, that we become a divine child and relinquish all fear and depend completely on the all-protecting power of God, its source, infinite intelligence. So by contrast, the person who does not cultivate the childlike qualities, so there's your call to action, there's my call to action, that we get to cultivate these childlike qualities that are latent in our soul. And really, if we don't, we're constantly torturing ourselves by shyness, worries, fear, and what you've heard me just mention, attachments, which drown, really puts us into an ocean of misery. And maybe that's why I metaphorically put my neck right back into the shell of the turtle. So before our Heavenly Father, our source, we should be like little children. It even says in part of the scriptures that enter the kingdom like a child. We basically don't need from us to carefully contrive theological definitions and prayers and chiseled to perfection, lest they offend his imperial ears. That's basically what Yogananda is saying. You know, you don't have to have this all beautifully mapped out, because that wouldn't be like entering the kingdom like a child, because they don't have that. Basically, he wants us to love him in all simplicity, just like children. And I think that also is about talking about us loving the source that is within us, just with simplicity. So if failures evade you repeatedly, don't get discouraged. They should act as stimulants, not poisons, to your material or spiritual growth. The period of failure is the best season for sowing the seeds of success. So guess what I get to do? I get to sow seeds of success right now. Every new effort after a failure, a temporary failure, must be well planned and charged with increasing intensity of attention. If a bad habit bothers you, do two things. Here's some call to action for us. Negatively, try to avoid it and everything that has occasioned or stimulated it without concentrating on it in your zeal to avoid it. Boom. Positively, divert your mind, your energy, your attention to some good habit and keep it furiously engaged in culturing it, nurture it. The more you and I improve ourselves, the more we will elevate others around us. Another part for confidence is praise does not make you better nor blame worse than what you are. Then why heed those two? Yogananda says, don't pay attention when people praise you, but survey yourself carefully when they blame you. Interesting. And if you are at fault, free yourself from the air very quickly. But if you are not guilty, laugh and forget it. Truth will speak for you. So here's an affirmation that Yogananda gives us for confidence. As a perfect pattern for an oak tree is encased in the acorn, so a perfect pattern for my life was placed in me in the beginning. And I shall endeavor to let this perfect plan emerge into manifestation without hindrance. And that goes back to that word perfect, a wholeness. Like the whole blueprint pattern is in the acorn seed. It's all there. Another affirmation is, I have within me the power and intelligence I need to meet all the problems of this day. I shall live today in perfect faith, calling on this power as the need arises. And I love this last one he shares. I will not limit my thoughts. I am life, intelligence, health, joy, peace, and power. This is the essential truth of my being, and I shall try to express these qualities completely. Therefore, life in full expression. So Yogananda goes on to just really kind of give us a little bit of a recharge of our soul battery. And he says this, close chamber of mental stagnation and drink in the fresh air of others' vital thoughts and views. Received mental nourishment from materiality and spirituality, progressive minds. So feast really on unstingingly uncreative thinking within ourselves and others. Take long mental walks on the path of self-confidence. Exhale poisonous thoughts of discouragement, discontentment, and hopelessness. Like literally go on a walk or stand or sit and exhale. As you breathe out that word. You know, I just breathe out the discouragement, the discontentment, the hopelessness. And I can breathe out the attachments. And then he says, inhale fresh oxygen of success and know that you are progressing with source's help, God's help. And this will recharge our soul battery, exhaling and inhaling. By consciously experiencing God's bliss through meditation, you and I can consciously destroy mental stagnation and acquire increasing spiritual health and wisdom. Eliminate all mental poisons and partake of the divine nourishment of determination, courage, continuous mental effort, and concentration. You and I will learn to overcome the most difficult problems with ease. He says, really disabuse yourself. I'm like, that is an interesting word. Like, stop abusing ourselves. Wake up and remember, no one can affect our happiness unless you and basically ourselves choose to be unhappy. He says that if you have made up your mind to keep your mind, really your own inner happiness under all conditions, then no one can make you unhappy. So what if that was it? We make up our mind that we have this inner happiness. So I'll leave you with this affirmation today. Thanks for joining me. Affirm this. Whatever conditions confront me, I know that they represent the next step in my unfoldment. I welcome all tests, no matter how trying, because I know that within me is the intelligence to understand and the power to overcome. I'm willing to learn the lesson each experience can teach, and I am thankful for the strength and understanding developed by overcoming each trial. Again, thanks for joining me. This is Beth with Life in Full Expression. I'll be here not next Monday, but the Monday after. And until then, if you're interested in a complimentary discovery session, reach out to me at bethwolf.com, and I would love to talk to you more about courage, calmness, and confidence. Until then, take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit bethwolf.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.